The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Today we begin a new year in the church in the same way that we ended a year last Sunday, by focusing on King Jesus, his coming and reigning. The theme of the season of Advent is in its name. Advent is an anglicized form of a Latin verb which means to come to, as in, "Behold, your King is coming to you." That's almost certainly why today's gospel has been linked with this first Sunday in Advent for centuries, because it speaks of King Jesus coming to his people. It appears a bit strange, perhaps, to hear an account of Palm Sunday at the end of November. Although time often seems to be zooming by, I assure you that next Sunday will not be Easter yet. But what are we to make of the donkey and her colt, of the branches and cloaks and loud clamoring crowd? The short answer is that we're not going to focus on these things today. They are important details which confirm that Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of God's promises, the long-awaited Messiah coming to crush the head of Satan under his heel, in order to free sinners from death and hell. But the donkey and branches won't be our focus today. Instead, we will concentrate on the quotation from Zechariah concerning the advent of our King, and on the words the crowd quoted from Psalm 118 as they accompanied Jesus on his way into Jerusalem. The prophet Zechariah wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." As you may have noticed, Zechariah wrote a bit more fully than Matthew's quotation. The evangelist also introduced his quotation with a phrase he picked up from the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, which reads in part, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." Jesus coming into Jerusalem, Jesus coming into the world for that matter, is the salvation of the Lord coming to sinners, the daughter of Zion, which is to say, all the people of God, have abundant reason to shout aloud and rejoice at the coming of Jesus as King. The prophets speak more than a little of Jesus coming in judgment, when he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips slay the wicked. But this was not, and is not, and never will be Jesus' primary mission and purpose. As Jesus said plainly to Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. While Jesus has power and glory to spare, his coming into Jerusalem, his coming into the world, his coming to you and me today through his word, in the absolution and in the bread and cup of the supper, is in humility, with righteousness and salvation. The truth is that you and I desperately need what Jesus has prepared and gives. For we have not always walked, still don't walk, faithfully in the light of the Lord. Rather than casting off the works of darkness, don't you often embrace them? How often haven't you nurtured the warm pleasure derived from anger, wrath, and bitterness, rather than loving and forgiving those who have wronged you and praying for their welfare? What about the lusts of the flesh? The joys of feasting and drinking, the gratification gained in pursuing and then acquiring and holding what you desire, the fruitless attempt at satisfaction through making pleasure your idol, rather than loving God by striving for purity and holiness in what you do and say and think. In the collect this morning, we prayed for Jesus to come, so that by his protection he would rescue us from the threatening perils of our sins and save us by his mighty deliverance. But isn't it the case that too often you view your sins not as the threatening perils they are, but rather as comforts or consolations in life which you embrace, at least in the privacy of your thoughts? The prayer of the church has long been, come, Lord Jesus. But for just as long, I think, Christians have sinfully appended the additional petition, but perhaps not quite yet, thinking of their unfinished business in this world as offering more joy, being more desirable and fulfilling than serving Jesus day and night in his temple, and being sheltered with his presence throughout all eternity. For these sins, for those which I haven't mentioned, which you know and feel in your heart, and for a multitude of others you are not even aware of or have long since forgotten, for these you deserve God's wrath and eternal damnation. To hear them that King Jesus is coming might well provoke a response of fear. Perhaps even the prayer to the mountains and hills we heard in the gospel last week. Fall on us, cover us, shield us from the coming tribulation. But King Jesus will come to you and to me as he came into Jerusalem so long ago. And before that, came in the womb of the Virgin and as a baby in Bethlehem. He comes humbly with righteousness, bringing, being our salvation. His perfect life, facing every temptation you and I have, but never not even once sinning. His innocent suffering and death, enduring in full the punishment for all the sins of all people through all time. This was for you and for your salvation. And as King Jesus once came, so he still comes, humbling, riding meekly in the unpresuming word of Holy Scripture, in the plain water of holy baptism, in the precious holy absolution, spoken always and only by unclean lips, in the simple food of bread and ordinary wine. The prophecies of Zechariah and Isaiah were fulfilled to a large degree when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, righteous and holy, humble and meek, to lay down his life for the salvation of the world. But the prophecies of Zechariah and Isaiah are being fulfilled also in our midst today. However, as Jesus comes, still humble and meek, to dispense the salvation he won on the cross outside of Jerusalem nearly 20 centuries ago. Salvation is what you are receiving each time he says, "I forgive you all your sins." Salvation is what you are receiving each time you hear the gospel that Jesus died for you, that as the Lamb of God, he has taken away the sins of the world, taken away your sins, that there is now no condemnation for you, since through holy baptism you are in Christ Jesus, that you are his, that he has saved you, and that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Salvation is what you are receiving each time you come to the supper and he comes to you in the bread you eat, his true body given for you, and in the cup you drink, the blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Once, King Jesus came to win salvation. Now King Jesus comes among us to dispense salvation. But that's not all. On the last day, King Jesus will come again in glory. Then he will raise the dead, unite again their bodies and souls, and gather all of those who have trusted in him, who believe that he, by his perfect life, by his innocent suffering and death, and by his glorious resurrection, is indeed their life and salvation. We'll gather them into the eternal joys of the celebration of the marriage of the Lamb in his kingdom. Christ Jesus, on that day, will be the groom, and the church, including you and me, his most honored and welcomed guest, his holy bride, cleansed by the washing of water with the word, presented in splendor without any spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, holy and without blemish. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O sinner redeemed by the Lamb. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, bringing and bestowing salvation, gathering the redeemed from the ends of the earth to rejoice in his salvation throughout all eternity. And when he comes, both among us now and at the end, it is proper that we respond as the crowds who welcomed him as he entered into Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago. Hosanna, they cry. Hosanna, a Hebrew word that is both an acclamation and a prayer. Save now, it means. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. righteous, and having salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord to save and deliver us. Hosanna in the highest. So this Advent, King Jesus comes to you and for your salvation. Hosanna, save now, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.